Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Moore back with you after a glorious weekend. And, of course, we expect not much more action this week. It's a big week. But before we get there, you know, just want to pay tribute as Muhammad Ali was buried on Friday. And obviously they had, I think it might have been the longest eulogized funeral in the history. But of course, the man did a lot of things for a lot of people over the years and was important in American history. So obviously, as we've said before, our condolences go out to his family. But obviously we should be celebrating the man's life because he did mean a lot and he did a lot of great things. And I think that it's important to recognize, you know, some of the great things that he did for the country, for the world, and for many individuals. So we salute and our hats off to Muhammad Ali. Our hats are not off and we do not salute the Federal Reserve, who leads this week off with the gigantic week that we could possibly see in front of us. We have many, many things that could create the main action. Now, overall, I'm still looking for a test or a punch through of the new highs. I think that that is basically a done deal. I don't see any reason we're not going to get there. A good economy, bad economy, it does not matter. The markets are still trying to churn higher. And as long as that's the case, who are we to say that no? So I'm really looking into the new high to appear before anything else. But overall, as you know, I have not hidden my views. I think the economy sucks. I think the markets are going to collapse. But you cannot try to anticipate that collapse or you will lose your money. So we're going to have to wait and do as we've done for quite a while here now and observe the market. We cannot get overly aggressive. But if we look at what is coming out this week, we have a couple of interesting things working. Number one, you've got the Fed meeting, which is Tuesday, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And they will come out of their home and the smoke will come out of the chimney and they will tell us what's going on in their minds. And of course, what they're going to do. Now, we can assume, okay, for all intents and purposes, that they are going to do nothing. Okay, that is would be the view, because why would we expect them now? The markets initially priced in a big zero. I think that that still is on the case. I don't see a reason to believe that we are going to have something unusual happen. I do not believe they're going to raise rates this time. I think they're waiting first for the end of the triple witching cycle. I think they're waiting for a better feel on what Brexit is going to do before they step in their pile of manure, which they have created by themselves. So why they're afraid to step in it now, nobody knows. But I think that we will see that become a role. So I do believe, and based on all the tape action, based on all the market action, that would indicate that they are doing nothing anyways, because you can see the weakness in the dollar and everything else that's going on. So, but it does have the potential between FOMC, Brexit, triple witching expiration, a lot of reasons to believe that this could be a very, very big week in the markets, in trading. And maybe this finally does lead us in the direction of something going to finally happen. And maybe we will finally break out of this range. Again, I don't know that that'll be the case. I look for new highs. That has not changed. I look for the markets to, you know, penetrate. But I evidently, as usual, now I look for them to go lower. I don't see what can continue to push them higher. So, but again, we're not going to try to play it ahead of time. We're going to watch and see how they react to what happens this week. But we've seen some mighty big things that over the last couple of weeks. And I think the first thing I wanted to, you know, kind of run by you here is, you know, we talk often about news and how it affects markets. Okay. And the reason I'm talking about this here is because you have something interesting happen on Friday. The WASD report, which is for the grains and things like that, came out on Friday. And it was a pretty bullish report. But as I've stated long, long, long ago, that the reports mean nothing to me. And that for the most part, I believe that these numbers are almost 99% of the time priced in. You know, there's way too much information out there today to believe that there is any major surprise. That is one of the reasons we can look for the overall cut down in volatility. Now, the grains have been rallying basically for 9 weeks. So how bullish was this report? I don't think it's bullish enough to make it higher. I think what you're seeing here is probably a predatory fund that's stuck or trying to manipulate. I think the rally itself, now again, I'm bullish longer term, but I'm not bullish from this level. I believe that there needs to be some selling here. But you saw immediate reaction on Friday where they spiked higher and then basically closed lower. So they made key reversals in that space. And I think the reason that's important is because we are, in my opinion, very near the upper end of this move. And if they continue to try to push higher and if the speculators continue to try to buy them, and the shorts are going to continue to get squeezed, then that is going to make for the bigger fall. But this is where, depending on your position in life, whether you're a farmer or producer, this is where you better be protecting what you have. Okay, if you're a speculator and you've got nice profits, you better be looking for some of these profits here. I don't think you get out of everything, but you should be taking something off the table here. And if you're stuck up in the short spot, you got to take a deep breath and let the markets trade a little bit longer. The probabilities suggest lower movement. But this is always the same in all markets, which is why we continue to believe that a new high might be made in the markets before we actually see the real selling. We cannot, in our own minds, put things ahead, nor can we assume what's going to happen next. That's one of the problems that most people have in this business, which is why most end up losing, because they try to put their opinions in play thinking that they know more than the market. And of course, we know that nobody knows more than the market, because the market is absolute, never gets sick, never gets tired, and just keeps on trading. So my views are to say to you that, hey, let's observe, let's be careful here. We'll probably talk about some gamble trades on tomorrow's show. Going into the Fed, because it's always fun to play. Here we can take some low risk stuff, but it's always interesting. And of course, always interesting as well is Thinkorswim and their swim lessons that they have every day. And tomorrow they've got adding Vega to Iron Condors, which is basically adding volatility to Iron Condors. And I think that it's always are good classes. They go from 11:30 to 1 Eastern time. They've got Technically Speaking with Cindy Faber from 1 to 1:30. And then they've got The Plunge from 1:30 to 2:30. You know, those are great things. And tomorrow's our ETFs Live, examining broad-based ETFs. And that's something that you want to check out. You know, Thinkorswim is one of the platforms that I use, and very nice, very user-friendly. So make sure you check them out. Also, make sure you take the time to check out BubbaTrading.com. Again, we have a lot of great classes. You know, we don't sell them. I mean, we do sell them, but I'm not here trying to get you to buy them. I'm just telling you what's on there, but a lot of great articles. Also, when you miss an episode, you have to go to libertytalk.fm to download not only the Bubba Show, but the Sporting
Show. All right, boys, follow me. We'll see you next time. Stay with me now. Listen up.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and after a week absence, we got her back, our friend Jane King, the one and only Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, all about it, one of our favorites. What's up, Jane?
Oh, hi, Todd. I was in the great state of Indiana last week, so enjoying some time with family. So, but I'm back in New York now.
Yeah, the great state of Indiana. So it's been, as far as markets are concerned, it's been really a big nothing. Nobody cares. But there was a lot of interesting things going on, and I want to play a little game with you, if you don't mind. I got a little tweet crazy this week, and I want you to comment on a couple of these tweets, okay? Do you mind?
Okay.
Do you mind?
I'll do my best.
All right. So the first was, I don't know if you know, but last week Matt Damon gave the commencement address at MIT. Okay.
Okay. No, I did not know that, but okay.
All right. And of course, as you know, or maybe you don't know, but most of these Hollywood people, they have an agenda, and even when they give a speech like at the Oscars or at commencements, they actually get their political views involved as well. So
oh, sure.
I got nuts because I was listening to it, and I said I couldn't control myself. So I wrote, my first tweet was, Matt Damon, another Hollywood jackass, hiding behind the tax laws, expressing his political agenda. Any comments?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm not surprised. I mean, didn't he do a movie or a documentary or something anti-fracking and has always been, you know, super left and espousing those views? I mean, I guess the bigger surprise is that colleges are just allowing people with one viewpoint on campuses anymore. And they're people, you know, like-minded, like Matt Damon. So, I mean, that's the sad thing. I mean, there's no debate. There's one right way to do it, they believe. Everybody else is ignorant and foolish and old-fashioned. And, you know, it's just sad because there's a lot of things that previous generations did that were very smart. And they've set up this country to be the best country in the world. And we're, unfortunately, a lot of college students aren't even hearing about that anymore. And I imagine that's pretty much what Matt Damon was talking about, even though I didn't hear it.
All right. Well, here's the last one, because I mean, I have a lot. Okay. I have a ton, but this is one that I want you to hear, because
okay.
Damon, Whoopi Goldberg, Michael Moore, and the rest of the Hollywood assholes, get rid of their lawyers, accountants, and donate your money to your cause, not for your mouth. You've got all you guys do is hide behind the tax laws, the very laws that make you all the money that you make, and yet you're out pitching this ridiculous platform.
All that, was that 140 characters?
It was more than one. I had the paraphrase part of it, but I did get, that's the message.
Got it. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's hypocrisy, right? I mean, and there's hypocrisy on both sides of the political aisle, but it seems like the media is very quick to point out hypocrisy from conservatives and not so much when it comes to people that are liberal in their thoughts. So, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I'm sure they're flying their private planes and while telling everybody else to drive green vehicles. I mean, you know, it's just, it goes on and on. I mean, this is not surprising, and I just hope that people are smarter than that.
See, I got you fair and square. Last one. Okay, this is we are becoming a nation of excuse makers. No jobs, no growth, the incompetent Fed. Hillary completes the trifecta of disaster.
Well, I guess, you know, the email system is, you know, she's tried to explain this email issue by saying it was a mistake. And, like, no matter what she says, it's just not a good excuse. I mean, whether it tells you one of three things, either she's really out of touch when it comes to cybersecurity and what people can do with things nowadays, which is scary. That's not where you want a president to be or anybody in government. It tells you she's corrupt and was trying to do things on a separate email system that nobody else could see, that either tried to do with the Clinton Foundation or something. We just don't know. Why would you set that up where people, it wasn't accountable? So, you know, either one of those things, she said it's a mistake. And you know, and the sad thing is that I just don't think, you know, like some of my friends here in New York and Atlanta, like, oh, no big deal. And I think it is a big deal. It's, you know, you have to ask yourself why was that done? And what does it tell you about what kind of leader she could possibly be? And it either tells you she doesn't understand technology or she's corrupt, and neither of which seem like an attractive option.
Well, I'm going to say it. You don't have to comment, but she is corrupt, and that's it. That's the end of the day. But anyways, Jane King, so what are you seeing out there? You know, it's very quiet. You know, markets have been, you know, basically in just consolidating, not doing much. And, you know, of course, we've got the Fed, and we've got Brexit, and we've got, you know, triple witching expiration, which is typically not a big deal, but, you know, markets appear that they're going to try to make new highs in spite of everything. I mean, are you seeing anything out there that has got you like, oh man, this is getting better, where I'm excited, or you've got anything out there that's got you upset? What are you kind of seeing?
I guess not so much. I mean, I think, you know, this week has felt like a lot of people are on the sidelines as they wait on the Brexit vote and the Federal Reserve meeting next week, although it looks like there's going to be no interest rate change next week. But of course, now we always wait and hear what the Fed has to say about the economy. But that jobs number from last week, I mean, when it first came down, I was in Indiana when it came down, I was like, do they mean 138,000? And my husband was joking last night, and he goes, oh, you mean that jobs report where they created 15 jobs?
Right.
It's funny. Okay, so, but even he, like, he's not even in this industry. He knows it's, you know, ridiculously low number. But I've been thinking about you a lot because you're the only person I've ever heard say that neither one of these candidates is going to be the one that we're going to be voting for president in November. And, you know, and I heard when I was home in Indiana and even here in New York, people saying, can we just start over with this whole thing? Can we go back to all the candidates and, you know, and just start over, redo? And I kind of wonder if you may be right about that. I'm not sure how it would all play out, but I think that was a very interesting theory that you had.
You know, I don't know. It's just, you know, I'm like frustrated. You know, I keep hearing the Fed and the no inflation. In the meantime, you know, I must be so out of touch because, you know, my gas is like a dollar higher than it was 6 months ago. But more importantly than that, you know, I went out to dinner and I took my son, my daughter still at school. I took my son and my wife and we went to a nice place for dinner. $116 for three people for dinner with no drinks, with no cocktails. I go, where have I been? Like, am I that far gone? But there's no inflation. I mean, yet Americans are making less money. But I mean, I don't know how anybody affords it. I mean, I had the exterminator had to come over, $800 for an exterminator. I mean, where am I going? Yeah. I don't get it. I mean,
I know. Well, and you know, I think you and I both buy our own health insurance policies through Obamacare, and those have been anywhere between 8% and in some cases like 40% increases. So healthcare is going up. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it may be being outweighed in other places, although I'm not sure where. I mean, I guess some of the technology stuff has been going down, but commodities have been going up, certainly energy.
Well, we called, Jane King and Bubba called it here live on the show that commodities were probably near a bottom. Remember that? We had that conversation.
Yeah, oh yeah. I know if I was just smart enough to have bought them at the time when I actually said that, then, you know, things would be a lot better. But coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Well, your family's got commodities. That's okay. They're having a much better year. I'm sure they're much happier now than they were 6 months ago. So that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's the end of the day. But so, you know, again, I don't know. I mean, I keep hearing all these good reports. Look, I'm not complaining. I'm not saying that everything is horrible. It's with the reports that you hear don't necessarily apply to the majority. Would you agree with that statement?
No. Well, and we get the government headline numbers. And then we hear reports like that I cover them about, you know, people have no savings. Like 66% of Americans have nothing in savings. They couldn't even meet $400 emergency costs. There's a report out today in the Wall Street Journal about how people have more money on their Starbucks cards than they do in some banks. And some banks have deposits, $1.2 billion on Starbucks cards, and that beats deposits at many smaller and regional banks. There's just all these little stories here and there, and if you watch them like I do, because I do this for a living, they're just, I mean, there's something wrong. The general American public is not saving. They're not confident. They don't have any kind of money skills. Credit card debt approaching $1 trillion. I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, these are all private reports. These aren't government reports, but they're telling us something about where the American public stands financially. And it's shaky.
It is shaky, but, you know, and as always, I mean, look, you know, you and I both know, and you're very comfortable because you're invested a lot in China as well, and we both know that eventually we will recover from all this nonsense, and we will become stronger once again, but we do need to get leaders, and we need to get, you know, the country together and do things together, but we always got our favorite, Jane King, the Ka-Ching Report, Lila Maximedia. I'm always glad you're back. You know, I miss you when you're gone because you always bring, like GE, you always bring good things to light. Jane King, thanks so much for being on today. I appreciate
thanks,
you. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. We just surpassed 225,000 downloads a month. I'm trying to get to 300. I need your help. So get out there and download that show. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, one of our best experts, technical analysis, reads them as he sees them and doesn't try to get too cute with the market. So, Matt, I guess the first question is, what did you see last week? It looked like we were going to try to make that run, and it looked like everything was working perfect. The Dow was kind of lagging, and the S&P was running, and then all of a sudden, kaboom, they stopped. What did you see?
Yeah, well, we had two targets. One was 2120 and one was 2142. 2142 obviously being the higher of the two. It's still possible we get there, but you know, we hit 2120 almost exactly, half a point higher. So that could be it. If that wasn't it, you know, like again, we're talking about another 22 points. So there's a really good chance that's it, that we saw the top.
Okay. Well, I mean, another percent higher. But, of course, you know, this week is always an interesting week. I mean, you know, triple witching expiration isn't what it was back in the day because they've already expired everything. I mean, the only thing left to go is really the options. However, you've got the Fed, which I know you don't care about the Fed. You only care about the footprint that they leave. But, you know, all those things combined, and then you base most of these triple witching expirations are usually higher. So we could see almost the culmination, you know, at the end of the week, which would maybe put the top in for quite a while. I'm not saying it will be, but you have any thought to that?
Yeah, no, I agree. At least the day before and the day, you know, the half day going into the Fed announcement tends to be bullish historically. So, you know, we could definitely see that again. What I was seeing in volatility, we didn't get as low. I mean, I thought we might chop a little bit longer than we did. So there's reason to think we could, you know, go a little bit higher to markets. But I think we're close enough that everything that I needed to be completed. So I think that, you know, the next big move is down. I think, for example, I think oil peaked, and I think, you know, that correlation with the you know, S&P has been there so recently. So that fits.
right. I mean, it all fits together, right? I mean, I wouldn't be. Look, if you were someone who was going to get short, if you were had a little longer term perspective, certainly this would be a spot that you'd be looking at, because hey, even if we get to your next target, it's only 1%, which wouldn't be the end of the world either way. I mean, we can't expect to nail the exact top or the exact bottom. So if you did step in here, and we're not suggesting that you do, what we're saying is that Matt's first target of 2120 was met, but there is still the outside chance that 2142 gets hit, correct?
That's it, yeah. But, you know, yeah, we're in the ballpark of the top. The Dow, for me, the Dow would be, all last week. And if we get a little pop back up here this week, then I think that's a good short. The Dow really shouldn't be making new highs. So the Dow would be if I was to be short, I would short the Dow, because it really doesn't have as much room to move to the upside.
Okay, and of course, oil does look like they were running it and holding it, and then all of a sudden, oh wait a second, we don't want to run anymore. And of course, commodities are still going ballistic. Mm-hmm. I've got some thought that, which we'll talk a little bit later about. But so overall, you look at this, the overall picture, and it looks kind of bleak, unless you want to be short. But again, one of the things that is troublesome, and I'm going to get your view on this, is volumes are still fairly light. And, the VIX, is still, not great for showing us more volatility. What are you seeing?
I think, it's at some point volatility will have to pick up. We've been talking about, the commercial short position in volatility. They just keep increasing it every week that volatility stays low. They add to their long position in volatility. And they did again last week. They're again up to a new record high in their VIX futures long position. So that all fits. Also, I'm looking at high yield bonds through the HYG ETF. And it has a rising pivot line that it hit once, I think it was about 2 months ago, and it's hit it again this past week and has pulled back off. That projects much lower than the February lows. So I think HYG is about to get hit again. That, and that tends to correlate well with the stock market.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see it all. I mean, again, I'm concerned from a... from somebody who's not used to it or doesn't understand that sometimes the pain and the punishment we have to take to do what we do. I've been kind of recommending, hey, observe the markets for a little bit, because there'll be an opportunity. If we're right, you will get an opportunity to sell them again. You don't have to get the exact high tick today. You will have another opportunity here, because certainly we're not going to go straight down, and certainly there's going to be a juicy rally to sell, which would obviously be better for both of us. From what we think, because obviously you'd love to sell into some strength, because that would just make, if we're right, that just means the collapse will be even bigger and faster.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if we get a bounce, as we've been talking about, if the Fed going into the Fed meeting, if we get that bounce, that would be a good one to short, particularly the Dow. I think that would be a great opportunity. But if somebody didn't get that one, like you said, there's always another rally to sell, and always another a trough to buy. So
yeah, I mean, everybody forgets. We only think, traders and human beings only think in the bigger term perspective. And you go back to 2008, and you go, well, I missed that whole move. Well, you really did. If you were paying attention, you really didn't miss it, because there was a lot of monster rallies within that big sell off. I mean, it didn't go straight from 14,000 to 6,000. I mean, I remember one night, I tell the story all the time, but it's funny because I was short. I was going in for surgery, and the market was up. The Dow was up 1,000, and I go, "Well, either I cover here," and I go, "Maybe I'll drop on the table. I don't have to worry about covering." And I didn't cover. By the time I got out of surgery, they were down. So, I mean, when you get that volatility, which is, one thing that's very important. We don't discuss it often. We talk about what people are doing, but just I call volatility the great forgiver, because even if you're wrong on a trade, when it's really active and there's a lot of volatility, it gives you many more opportunities. And when you do hit them right, you just bang them. And that's really the thing. Whereas when you have very light volatility, every trade is like got to be right. And it's just much more challenging. What do you think?
No, I agree. Volatility, you can, as long as you stay calm during it, I think that you always have a second chance. The few times that I think that it's tough is when, the sell-off that we got last August, when, you know, it was a 4-day, what, 10% drop, something like that. Those are the ones that hopefully, you know, you get it, you can get in advance, and then you don't have to wait as long for a bounce back.
No, you're right. I mean, it's nice to be there for the party, but
the reason I bring that up, the reason I bring it up is because based upon what the commercials are doing in VIX futures, I think that's the kind of, I think we will get a waterfall decline here at some point. Now, I don't know when but it's going to be, you know, this month or July or August, you know, so, but I think at some point we're going to see that.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, again, you know, you can't, the only thing is you have to always, you know, manage your capital and manage where you are, because in economics class, they talk about opportunity cost, right? And if you're too busy blowing your brains out trying to get there, and then you're out by the time the opportunity comes, you're not in. So it's always interesting. And again, that's where your style and your personality work, and it would work for almost everybody, because it's just basically, you know, color by numbers. I mean, this is the numbers, this is what I see, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is where I'm going to get out if I'm wrong. And those are always things that, you know, but a lot of people, of course, we bring a lot more emotion to markets from a general trading perspective, which is obviously what pushes markets around in the first place. But, you know, if you're going to be rote as you are and just simply make the trade and say, okay, that's my level, I waited for this, this is the exact spot, and this is where I'm getting out if I'm wrong, then you can always trade that and be for those bigger moves. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I absolutely try to make it as simple as possible and just, you know, keep emotion out of it, keep all the, you know, the talking heads talking about fundamentals and Brexit and all this other stuff. If we can just keep that out and just look at charts, then I think we can just, yeah, we look for our level, we hit it, and then, you know, we wait for it to work for us.
Yeah, well, the talking heads, they half of them don't know what they're talking about to begin with, number one. Number two, you know, I love, you know, when they get on there and someone will say, oh, I'm so bullish the market. Which is fine. I mean, I have no problem with being bullish or bearish. I mean, you and I can make a case either way we really want. If you want to, you can format it any way you want. But what I really hate is when a guy says, I'm so bullish, I got to buy. I go, so they go, what are you buying? Well, he goes, I'm buying GE. I go, well, right away, you know, he's not that bullish. He's buying General Electric. If you're bullish, you're not buying General Electric. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's more of a safety stock. I agree with that.
I mean, it's a safety stock, and where's it going to go? Even if it goes straight up, where's it going to go? And then, of course, the thing I love more than anything is they get these assholes on TV, and they're talking about, oh, you got to buy this, this, and this, and then they show the disclosure of the ownership, and they don't own any of it. Their firm doesn't own any of it. Their family doesn't. I said, well, how could you? Why would I? If you won't buy it, why would I buy it? I mean,
put your money where your mouth is, right?
That drives me crazy. I mean, that to me, those are things that are really ridiculous when you get these idiots that talk stuff. I mean, I have no problem. Somebody's going to step up, and they don't have to be right. If you're going to stand behind your position and determine, you know, like you, I know you're putting these positions on exactly the way you're speaking of them because, you know, that's what you do. But I know that guys out there that make these ridiculous calls and things, like, they're not doing anything. They're just trying to be a hero, you know, like a Harry Dent. If he put on all the positions he said he was putting on and he kept calling for the market, the guy would be out of business. Nobody could withstand those moves. Anyways, we are with my guy, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. Been pretty much on top of it. And the beauty about what Matt does, just so you guys understand, so you should check out his website, is that he's just very matter of fact. This is not, he doesn't get excited. He doesn't get crazy about it. He puts on the positions and based on the numbers. Now, that's one of the things I can appreciate, because that's really what successful trading and investing is about. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure if you miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm and download it every day. You can download The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge. We just passed about 235,000 downloads. Looking to get more. I need your help. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. That's right, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm thumbing my way in North Carolina. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Matt, every week I let you talk about your gold call, because now gold has suddenly decided that 1,200 was the low for the time being and has now pushed itself back up higher again. And, of course, we know a lot's got to do with the weaker dollar and those things. So tell us about your gold special, and then we'll start talking a little bit about gold.
Okay, great. Well, you know, I have the perspective that we haven't bottomed in gold, that there is a lower low coming, that the low we got in December wasn't it. And we have a very distinct line that we're waiting to be hit for the bear market bottom. When that occurs, anybody that signs up for our gold bottom call will get a text and an email when we are close to the target. And it's a free service. It's a free service to sign up, and we only charge if we're right. So if our target is right and we're within 3%, and then we have a rally of at least 20%, only then will we charge $49 cost of that one-time subscription.
And that's a great deal. I mean, it's a no-lose deal. Either he's right and the profits are huge, or it never happens. Or if he's wrong, you blew $49. And I know that if we're in this business, many times you blow more than $49. But here you're getting a straight technical read, no emotion, not a gold bug, not anything. He's just sitting there waiting for that point to hit in his market. So, Matt, I was reading some interesting stuff over the weekend, and I saw that silver, now I guess they call it registered silver, is at the lowest level it has been since 2011. And if we remember 2011, silver traded up to $49. Does that give you any thoughts? Do you think anything about that stuff?
Yeah, no, it's a serious concern. I mean, there's definitely we're verging on physical shortage. There's definitely tightness. And, you know, it did sort of get out of control in 2011. That's why we got up towards, you know, those high 40s, right? The issue still remains, you know, it's difficult to understand why the commercials, the big banks, why they are remaining so heavily short silver. If we go up, you know, if we go up dollars to the upside, for every dollar we go up, they lose something like $200 million, or it's probably more than that at this point. I haven't done the math exactly. But they are shorting into the strength again, as we've been bouncing from the $16 level. Same thing with gold. As gold's been moving up, they've just been loading their shorts right back on. These banks are not idiots. They're not, you know, they're not stepping in front of a train. You know, why step in front of a train if it's, you know, going to keep going? I don't know. I don't know exactly why they're doing it, but I would say that typically they're doing it because they can control the market. They believe they can control the market, and they'll bring it right back down. That's what they've done in the past. That's what I expect them to do going forward. But I would say there's definitely physical tightness in silver. Not so much really in gold. Gold has been, physical hasn't been a problem. There's been major deliveries for this past month, and has caused no real stress on the market. Silver, different story. We'll have to see how that plays out. I still don't think silver is done in its bottoming process, though. I think this will be contained and there'll be another move down.
I wouldn't be surprised, but again, those are just interesting points. Again, you really can't play off of them. You have to wait to the proper levels. That's what we talk about all the time. I mean, it's really about the numbers. And so, Matt, on Friday they had the what they call the WASD report in the agricultural space, in the grains. And of course, it was funny because before the report came out, the grains were a little bit higher. And of course, wheat had a nice big move, which you've been looking for a while. And I felt that, you know, once it broke out, it was going to come back down again, because I just don't think it's ready to really break out. But anyways, the WASD report looked like it was really bullish. And the minute it hit, the grain spiked up crazy. And I wrote to a guy that I do a lot of work with. I said, I'll bet you they closed down on the day. And of course, we had the complete reversal on that day. And one of the things I talk about a lot is market expectations. You know, to me, in today's world, there isn't that many surprises. And I thought that a lot of that action was already priced in. And I think that now wheat will continue to either churn or work its way higher. And corn and beans will now start to head to the downside. Any thought to that?
No, that's exactly what I have the exact same take on it. As you know, I've been bullish wheat and bearish soy and soybeans, and it's been a tough trade.
Torture.
Now that wheat has kind of popped back up, popped up, you know, it's kind of evened out somewhat. I still think, you know, soybeans have, they're just, I mean, I'm just looking at, this is the chart-based stuff. I don't actually follow the reports.
No, I understand. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I know you don't. I know you don't follow the report.
Yeah, so, I could have a closer, I could look at it a little bit more depth, but basically my chart is saying, you know, it's deep in the red, and where I'm looking, particularly I'm looking at RSI on a weekly chart, and that is at a symmetrical top. So I expect it has to turn down here. I really don't think – I think there's very little left to the upside in soybeans. And, hey, if we go a little bit higher, at that point I stop out, and then I'll just, you know, wave the white flag. But I do think that we're right here at the top.
And I agree with you. I mean, again, I think that they've gone way – even if they're going higher, which I do believe over time they're going higher – but I do believe that we've had, I mean, listen, we've rallied basically from 850 to almost 12 bucks. So that's a pretty damn big move, and I don't see it. And, of course, we've seen this before in ag markets, in soft commodity markets. You know, there's always these kind of moves. And again, they always get caught. The greed gets caught up first, and then when the greed wears out, goodbye, Charlie. And I think that's what probably what we'll see here. But, you know, it's interesting to watch. Now, when you do your spread, like buy wheat, sell beans, do you do it one-to-one?
Yeah, dollar for dollar, one-to-one.
Okay. So, you know, the dollar's been kind of strange and, of course, was under an enormous amount of pressure once the, you know, the jobs number came out. And, of course, it bounced a little bit on Friday. But what are you seeing in the dollar here?
The dollar, I think, continues to it's, you know, it depends on the time frame we're looking at. I think in the, you know, very short term, I think there's still more upside. I think we go as high as we did around 96, where we peaked out, you know, a couple weeks ago. We go back up there, probably fall back again. This is probably going to be a choppy mess for a couple months, I think. And then, you know, I think we're going to get another shot at higher highs, where we'll really get a big leg up and potential new highs by the end of the year. I'm still in that. I still believe that's the case. Right now, I'm not really seeing anything that the size of the moves I'm seeing coming are just not big enough to actually trade.
And I agree. I mean, I do think that, you know, again, this will have to do with when they start to raise interest rates, because the rest of the globe is not going to be able to raise interest rates no matter what. And that becomes a problem, because that does mean automatic strength for the dollar, because when people are afraid, they run to either the U.S. Marine Corps, the U.S. dollar, or the U.S. Treasury bonds. So that'll be – so what are you looking for here in the near term in general? What's your view here? Short equities, short euros, or long euros? What's your take?
Well, yeah, I would be short equities. You know, if and I'd pick the Dow if I was talking about the U.S. and I would be short. We are short Euro Stoxx 50, which has gone nowhere really for 3 months, and that's, you know, just kind of a spin, a sideways trade for us, but, you know, it should pay off quite well in the coming months. Short equities, I also want to short, this is a strange, I'm seeing strange things here. I also want to be short long-term treasuries, which, you know, typically benefit when equities sell off. So it's a, but that's much more of a long-term trade. As I've said, I think we can go as low as 1.3, 1.4%, which is where we bottomed in 2012, 10-year, and we're at 1.64. So we're very close. This is a long-term trade. I want to be short treasuries. You know,
I know you believe that the bond market rally, the 36-year rally is now over. And I can understand where it's coming from, and we'll see. I mean, but, you know, obviously a lot of manipulation in there. We've got the yield curve almost getting ready to invert right now, which is never a good sign for the overall markets, which would really tie into your case. But, you know, hey, Matt, you know, I think my personal opinion is going to be quiet, you know, throughout this week. Again, there's a lot going on, and you've got Brexit, which really doesn't mean anything to us, because you and I both read the footprint ahead of time. So it's not, you know, we read the footprint as it happens, not try to guess what they're going to do, because that's really how the markets actually trade. And, you know, you've been pretty much spot on. I mean, I have to say that your batting average, if you were in the major leagues, man, you'd make about $20 million a year getting paid as a player. But Matt Demeter, as always, thanks so much for being here. It's a pleasure.
Todd, thanks so much for having me.
This is our guy, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his gold special. I mean, I'm in it. I mean, it just makes sense to, you know, you got a guy that's reading it naked and trying to give you a spot that when they do get there, and he's telling you it's a ways away. So check him out, DemeterResearch.com. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to download the show every day at LibertyTalk.fm. You can get the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. But that will do it for today. This is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba, Horace. Everybody have a great day. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba, Horace. And put some feel
good. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.